But I say again, everyone has been afraid of something. For instance, some people are scared of snakes. Ooh, I don't like snakes. I certainly don't like spiders. And you see a spider, ooh, no. And you get all, I mean, people are scared of things. It's in the human nature. But God said to man, both the shepherd, Joseph and Mary, he said, fear not. Maybe your financials are setbacks, or maybe it's your gray hair. You know, I'm getting gray. I got to get some of that shoe polish and rub it in my hair to make it nice and black. Any of you men do that? I don't. Anyway, rejection, disappointment, exposure, being forgotten. There's so many reasons why people are scared today. What are you scared about? Think of it just for a second. So many people are scared of old age and all of these different things I've written up here, and there's many, many more. But what are you scared of? You know, in the Bible stories, too, we have many. We have Abraham lied about Sarah out of fear. Do you remember when they got to with the Egyptians coming there, and he said to Sarah, shh, Sarah, say you're my daughter? Sister, yes. Thank you, brother. And you know, we're not man and wife because he was afraid that they would kill him and take her. So he was afraid. Jacob, he was afraid. Remember when Esau was coming out with 400 men? And he was afraid. All through the Bible. How about Moses? He was fearful. He was fearful. We heard a little bit about that this morning in the worship service. How about Moses? How about the disciples when in the Red Sea and they were scared? We've all been scared of something. But God says in the Bible, for you, for me, fear not. That's what he's telling us. Fear not. Nothing has changed. People are still caught in the grip of fear. And this is even during the time of Christmas. Now, getting close to Christmas. I was up in the shopping center. And, you know, here comes Santa Claus. Here comes, and all the music was on. Wow. And all the trees decorated. So it's close. But a lot of people have fear. We shouldn't have fear about Christmas. It's a happy time. But I know a lot of people that Christmas is the worst time of the year. They're fearful. They're fearful that they won't buy the right gifts for their family. They're scared they won't have enough money. They're scared of meeting everyone's expectations. They worry about meals. And it goes on and on. But you know what Isaiah says? Fear not, for I am with you. And God says that to each and every one of us here this morning. Fear not, I am with you. It makes me think of a quick story here. Of a young man walking home one night, and it was sort of weary, you know, and he was walking through the dark, and he heard a noise, and boy, he was scared. He was scared, and then he heard a voice saying, "Son, I'm here." It was his father, and when he heard the voice of the father, and I'm telling you. Get into the Word of God and you won't have fear. When you feel afraid and have anxieties and all that, get into the Word of God, and the Father wants to tell each and every one of us, our Savior wants to tell us, fear not, for I am with you. I am with you. And He is with us. He's been with me for 62 years. Fear not. Joel, fear not. O Lamb, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things, and He has done marvelous things in my life, in your life, in the life of Steve and his wife and the family, and He's going to do even more marvelous things. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, what is this to do with our Christmas message? Well, first thing we're going to see the calmness of Mary's life. Before she had the visit from the angel, she was calm, cool, and collected. She was just a young girl, just enjoying life and so much. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Maybe you can adapt to this. Maybe you can apply this to your life. And then we have the challenge of her life. A challenge. What a challenge. Man. And we're going to go into that a little bit. And then we're going to end up with the consequences of Mary's life. So these are things that you can think about instead of just the regular Christmas story, the calmness, the calmness, the challenge of her life, and the consecration of her life. She was consecrated. She was honorable to God. And we can apply these things in different situations, especially during this Christmas season when there's so much going on. Okay, the calmness. Mary was calm, and then all of a sudden, Gabriel appears to Mary. She's probably about 14 or 15 or 16 years old. We don't know. I've never seen a birth certificate. But according to the people who really know scripture and customs, she was about that years old. So there she is. She's in her home, and all of a sudden, boom! Oh, wow. So this calmness has changed a bit, and I think it would change in my life, because what she was really thinking, she was probably thinking, you know, she was betrothed, she was engaged to Joseph. Are you with me? She was engaged. A little different than we think of today, but she was engaged, and she was thinking of a marriage, and she was probably planning in the back of her head to form a nice home and have everything, you know, the family. These are natural things for a young lady, 15, 14, 16, 17 years. Not today. They stay home till they're 30 years old. We can't get rid of them, but that's neither here nor there. We won't go there. I'm just kidding. But, you know, then they would get married early in those years. But you know, the Bible tells us something very important. She was sexually pure, the purity, and spiritual pure. Those are two very great attributes. And I say to my granddaughters, over and over and over again, that they have to keep pure. And they've got to get into the Word of God, and the Word of God will help them to keep pure and help them keep spiritually right. But all of a sudden, everything blew up. An angel comes and says she's pregnant. In our day, that wouldn't be any big deal. See, I was an orphan. My mother had me out of wedlock. And in my day, 1945, that's a long time ago, 1945, it was a shame to have a baby out of wedlock. She lost her husband over me. She lost her mother over me. And she lost her grandmother over me. She was put aside because she was pregnant. Out of wedlock. In this time, it was even worse. They wouldn't be put out of the family. They would be stoned to death. Where today, people have babies and we have showers for them and they're not married. And I'm not going to go into that thing, but I'm just saying the difference in that day. Her life was shattered, shattered, shattered. I really like it when my life goes just as I planned. There are times when we sail the calm seas of life. Isn't it nice? When everything's calm, cool, and collective, and everything's just going on dicky-doo, and we're just enjoying life, and there's no problem. But, those days often seem fleeting and few when compared to the days when trials stacks up like a savage wild beast. That happened to Mary. That's part of our Christmas story. And you're going to say, but Ron, you're going to tell us a fairy tale. You're going to tell us Alice in Wonderland, and they live happy ever after. I'm talking scripture. I'm talking biblical. I'm talking a miracle from God Almighty, the creator of the heaven and the earth. And she was pregnant by the working of the Holy Spirit in her life. She had no relationship. People say it's impossible, but nothing we saw, nothing is impossible with God. So here we have her life, then she has the challenge. What is she going to do with this news? What would you do with this news? Oh, I think I'd run off to South America. Yeah, I'd leave you guys. I'd be there saying goodbye. I'm going to South America. I'm going to hide up in Henel Belgrano with all the German war criminals. But she didn't. She didn't. The challenge of Mary's life. When Gabriel made his announcements to Mary, her life was immediately turned, let me see if I get this right, you got it? Upside down. Yeah. Whoop. from this to this. I mean, it was unbelievable. Can you imagine the shame, the reproach, the humility that she was heading into? Even though this was a great honor, but she was going to be, she could be stoned. Can you imagine her walking down the street after 3-4 months? Can you imagine? I can't imagine it because I live in a different society and a different way of life, but we're talking in biblical days and we're talking scripture because you can read all about it in scripture. I mean, it was a challenge. It was a big challenge. Then said Jesus to his disciples, "If any man comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow." She was willing to take up that challenge. She was willing to obey God. She was willing to carry that. Today, they just get an abort. Abort it. Abortion. And again, I'm not going to go into all the politics of that either. But today, it's so easy. See, one of the first things I said to my mother when I met her, my biological mother, I said, you know, I said, first I asked about my name. And she said, "Are you mad at me?" I said, "No, but I said, I'm glad you didn't abort me." Because she was going to go to Calgary and she was going to get me aborted. But she didn't. Her background was Salvation Army. That's why my name is William Bramwell Edgecombe. And she didn't abort me. And I told her thank you. But that's an alternative, if you can say it that way. But Mary was willing to carry the cross. And I just love this one here. Look at this. Jesus bore his cross. Christians must bear their cross. And she was willing. She took the challenge. Just like our dear brother and sister here. They've taken the challenge to leave beautiful British Columbia. Who would want to leave beautiful British Columbia? You got to be... But no, they took the challenge. And they said, "Yeah, we're going to Australia." Who wants to go to Australia? I've been there. It's nice. Don't get me wrong. Oh, good. None of them are here. I can say that. But you know what I mean? That's a challenge to leave mom and dad, his three brothers, all of you beautiful, wonderful people. You could see the affection of the people for them. But they're taking up the challenge, just like Mary took up the challenge. And she was willing to do. What do we have to do? We have to, dear friend, we have to trust God. So there's the challenge. She was calm. Then she had this challenge. And now we're going to look into the consequences. The consequences of this. Despite the shame that was sure to come her, she despised the humility she would bear. Despite the humility she was to bear, Mary was willing to submit herself to the will of the Lord. In doing so, she set an example of obedience and serenity for all of us. She took up the challenge. Yes, we are to submit to God. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. We have to do what God tells us to do. I was in the Belle Province of Quebec. I loved it there. I had 4 gorgeous children. They looked just like their dad. Oh, no, I'm not supposed to say that publicly. No. Anyway, they were beautiful children. I bought a house. I was there. Je parle français. I was more Québécois than Québécois. We loved it. We're doing moose hunting, deer hunting, goose, geese, coo. Wow, it was beautiful. Then all of a sudden, in 1979, the Lord called me back. I was going to say to Canada, I won't say that. Back to BC from Quebec. That was a challenge. I'm telling you, I had to sell my house. It was a nice house. But we got to do what God wants us to do. And then I come back to beautiful British Columbia, and I'm here for 6 wonderful years, and I'm ministering, preaching, teaching. Boom. God calls me off to Argentina. I didn't speak a word of Spanish. I could hardly speak English. My French was not bad. I was a mixed up linguistic person. And we spent 15 years in Argentina. What we've got to try to do, we've got to submit to God. And I apologize for giving those personal examples. I mean, look at Joseph. The story of Joseph. He was loved by his father, but of course his children, his brothers, I should say, they sent him off to Egypt. But it turned out to the good. And a lot of times things happen in our lives, we don't see it now, but down the tube, we see that it's worth it. Yes? Do not fear God's providence. Fear not. We are not to fear God. And you know what happened? Here's another story in the same Christmas story. Very quickly, time is going. Joseph, what was he going to do? The pain of Joseph's life. Joseph, he had to make a decision. Was he going to stick it out with Mary? Or was he going to sort of get rid of her and just leave her aside? But an angel came. Now you're going to say, well, I haven't had an angel visit me. But you know, God speaks to us through his word. And I felt it could be angels sometimes speaking to me through the word, you know. It just kind of, it's the Holy Spirit. And you know, you're looking at the word of God and you're in a situation and boom! Wow! I never saw that before. But the angel came and talk to Joseph. But what was he going to do? I mean, what is he going to do?
Chapter 4, Joseph and the Angel. Joseph was a good and kind man. He and Mary were to be married. When he learned that Mary was going to have a baby, he did not know what to do. Because the baby was not his child, he thought he should not marry her. One night, an angel came to Joseph in a dream and told him that Mary's baby was the Son of God. The angel told Joseph to marry Mary and to name her baby Jesus. Jesus was to be the Savior of the world. Joseph obeyed the angel and married Mary.
The angel told Joseph to not be afraid. And he had all of these different possibilities. But he didn't. But you know, it was the privilege of his life. He had the privilege of helping raise God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a carpintero. He worked with wood. He worked with his hands. He worked with the people. Joseph had his own business. And it was fantastic. But there again, Joseph got up the challenge. And we have challenges in life. We have challenges. So we have the privilege, and then we have the priorities of Joseph's life. Joseph was wanting to do what God wanted him to do. And then, of course, we have the presence. Joseph did what God wanted him to do. He took her as his wife. And can you imagine what the people thought of him? That's not his kid. That's not... And you know some of the words they use. Not anymore, but when I was young, they used to use these words. Yes? Fear not. Do not fear. Now, there's one other story. So, first we have Mary, told by the angels, fear not. Then we have Joseph, fear not. They were terribly afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Of great joy for everyone. The Savior. Yes, the Messiah. The Lord has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth.
Pretty exciting, eh? Did it give you goosebumps? I got goosebumps. Yeah, that's exciting stuff. That's real deal. That's not a fairy tale. That happened. And the angel said to the shepherd, fear not. I mean, can you imagine? If you knew a little bit, we don't have time for it, but shepherds were the outcasts. Shepherds, I mean, where did they do the washroom things? You know, I mean, they where did they change their clothes? Well, they were quite a crowd. They were very despised. I mean, they were, you know, shepherds. Oh, I mean, you can imagine what they, you know, you can imagine what they smell like. But they were visited. Mary was visited. Joseph was visited. The shepherds were visited. And all of them, the thing was, fear not. And the blessing that they had a blessing, the blessing to see the child and the brilliance. But the big thing is, fear not. And that's what God, and I don't know if you could put your name here, but Mary, fear not. Joseph, fear not. The shepherds, fear not. And put your name there. Don't fear. God's with you. Jesus is there with his arms wide open. He's saying, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he does. He does. Things that never happen. You're going to say, nothing ever happens like that to me. But God will test us sometimes. He will not tempt us. Are you with me? We are never tempted by God. But sometimes he allows us to go through trials and testings. I mean, look at Job. And I could go on to that too. But, you know, so we are not to fret not. Fret, he loves you. Fret means fear. It's just another word for those that English isn't their first language. Fear not. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Fret not. Then, faint not. We aren't to faint. Another word that means pretty well the same thing. Faint not. And a verse that goes along with that is before the Passover. No. Even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. So these three things are very real. Fret not. Faint not. And fear not. God's on our side. You know, I always say to people, my last story, time is gone. My last story. Another one of these stories. And it's something along the same line that about the other one. It's just that, you know, it's that voice. It's that small voice of the Father. The Father loved the Son, and the Son loved you and I, and he died for you and I on the cross. Now, when we go downstairs, we're going to be celebrating, we're going to have a baptism. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. But where are you in all of this Christmas story? Is Christ really the center of your life? Is Christ really the reason for you being? I want to bring you to Jesus. And that is so important. Do not fear. I am with you. That's what I'm saying to you this morning. Don't fear. God's on our side. God with us. Who can be against us? May God richly bless you this Christmas season. Now, next week, we're going to have another subject and it's the whole idea of waiting on the Lord. So I hope you're here next week. God bless you.
Thank you, Rob. And so we're going to go into the baptism now, but just as we're getting ready, we're just going to sing another song. And I think if somebody could maybe go downstairs and ask the Sunday school to come up.
I didn't coordinate anything with Ron, but I was just gonna, we're gonna do a song while they set up. The song we're gonna do is Oceans, and it's based on the story of Jesus and Peter walking on the water. So I'm just gonna read a couple verses from Matthew 14, verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "let me come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. I will just stop there for now. Just this idea of obedience that Peter had, that he was able to walk out on the water. And as we're going to be doing some baptisms, this is a step of faith and obedience by these guys. So if you could just stand with us and sing.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, my feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name. Above the waves, when oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine.
Your grace abounds deep. Waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, you won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are my own.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Soul rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are.